Blog Talk Radio.
All right.
All right.
You guys want to start the show?
Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Morning Serial. I am Grim Shay. Joining me, as always, Marky. Say hi, Marky.
Hey, Grim Shay.
Hey, everybody out there. Well, it's getting towards winter here.
Uh-huh.
We're almost done with fall already. But that doesn't mean we've forgotten Comic-Con 2015.
No. It's still
and in
here.
Fact, before it gets too late in the year, we want to pull out one little nugget, one thing that I know you, Marky, really enjoyed.
We've been sitting on this for a while. It was a highlight of San Diego Comic Con 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And
it definitely was for you,
right?
I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this it was an opportunity of a lifetime, really.
It was a roundtable discussion with none other than Iron Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike,
Kid Dynamite. You sat down right next to him, stared him right in the eye.
Yeah.
Did you quiver? Did you sweat?
It was intimidating.
Did you get a little scared?
Yeah, yeah. He is such a tour de force, as they say.
I mean, he is.
He takes up a lot of space, not physically. I think I'm taller than him by probably an inch or two.
He was always the shortest fighter.
Yeah,
in
yeah. But he's got such a presence. I mean, he's massive.
Yeah, and not just a physical presence. I mean, Mike Tyson has been around since I was watching Saturday Morning Serial.
Yep.
Guy's just a few years older than we are. He's 18 years old. Becomes the what was it, the WBO?
He was the youngest champion ever at 20.
At 19 or 20, his first title. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, when I was 10,
yes,
he was setting the boxing world on fire and became so big that Mike Tyson was, I would say, definitely in the pop culture.
He was massively in the pop culture. Like, he was the first fighter, I think, ever to unify all three belts.
Yep.
He was the youngest heavyweight fighter. He beat Muhammad Ali by about, I think, 6 or 7 months, or maybe even close to a year, as far as his age, before he won the heavyweight title.
As far as his age?
I believe so.
For those kids
Mike Tyson never
fought Muhammad Ali, but that is one of those dream bouts that sports writers
and
talk about.
His first, like, I think, 10 or 12 fights were all knockouts. I think most of those were within a round.
Yeah, it became a joke, I remember, because you would have to pay so much money to pay-per-view back then.
Or you had HBO, and yes, everyone would come over and watch your HBO fight, and Tyson knocks him out. Well, we used to all play this game, and this is back with me and my dad and my great-grandfather, who was in his 90s back then, right? And he would come over, and we would play this game where we would draw from a deck of cards, from ace all the way to the queen, so we have 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then we all put a dollar in, and then whatever round whatever card you get, that's the round. And if the fight ends, then you win the pot. So we all wanted the ace. Tyson fight.
Mike
Tyson
would knock him out in the first round.
That
was Mike Tyson. It was electric back then. He was selling it. I remember being a kid.
Uh-huh.
Knowing that he had a fight in Japan, and I knew that by the time I woke up in the morning, it already would have been decided. And I went. It was like during the summer. I was at a swim meet early in the morning. As soon as I got there, some of the kids had already found out, and sure enough,
it was like a
45-second knockout or something. I'm like, yeah, way to go, USA, Iron Mike.
Well, and even then, like, this was really the beginning of the pay-per-view phenomenon.
Yeah.
I mean, and it used to be called closed circuit, where you would have to go to a movie theater and watch the big fight.
Or some of the bigger sports bars that are not as big
as and you have to buy a ticket and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first ones, to my memory, this is back when we paid the cable guy, $20 to like get that little filter. We saw.
You were just disclosing a litany of felonies.
The statute of limitations is long gone on that. But no, we saw it was the big fight. It was Tyson versus Spinks. And this made him the linear champion. Because a lot of times you get the title because of a vacated championship. Mm. You know, the fighter moves on or he retires and nobody ever beats him. But it was Spinks who had it before, you know, and he had retired. And he came out of retirement to fight Tyson. So this is the biggest fight of the 80s.
Tyson Spinks, it's one of those.
Yeah, 90 seconds he knocks him out. Mm. And this is pay-per-view. Everybody's excited, and then everybody gets pissed off.
Yep.
Yeah, but he was a tour de force. And even who he married was big news. Robin Givens,
right. who was hugely popular actress at the time, head of the class.
Head of the class, yeah.
Despite itself, was a big hit.
Yeah,
she was important. And he was famous for that. You know, he would buy a new mansion, and Oprah would talk about it.
Yeah,
he was
on the show
in the culture, and I remember him growing up.
He was on 2020, 60 Minutes,
big time.
Yeah, and he was a hero to us as kids. He was that sports figure.
He was our real life Rocky.
Exactly.
From nothing.
He came from nothing. He was poor,
very poor, coming out of New York, got in a lot of trouble, kicked out of school, lots of fights, an older.
Custom auto, old trainer,
like a Burgess Meredith, honest to God trainer,
guy.
Picks him up, trains him, shows him how to channel this stuff.
Yeah.
5-6 years later, the guy is going for the world champion. I mean, it's a true to life,
absolutely
Cinderella story where everybody lives happily ever after.
Until.
Like that, fortune started to change. Buster Douglas, an unknown, relatively speaking,
I think it was a 20-1
out of nowhere.
I think 20-1
knocks Mike Tyson not just down, but out. Down for the first time in his career. Out for the first time in his career, of course, by default. And then the bricks start coming out.
Yeah,
he divorces Robin Givens, or Robin Givens divorces him.
Takes all his money. There's also allegations
about why. I'm not here to muckrake, but
there was a conviction.
Loses a lot of money in a divorce. His giant entourage, of course, is bleeding him dry as well. Yeah. Don King,
famously.
I've understood Don King is not the best guy to have in charge of your money.
Right.
And
he knows how to take care of it, just not for you.
Yes.
Yes.
He can be around his own money.
Yeah.
But Mike Tyson goes from. And it takes very little time, unfortunately.
He actually ends up 6 years in jail, right?
And yet, because of rape charges stemming from a contestant
in a beauty contest.
Very sordid things. All of a sudden, you know, Kid Dynamite comes of age, has $1 billion, and a few months later, he is filing for bankruptcy, going to jail, a $25 million mansion. All the rage.
Yeah.
I actually just this morning read an article that the church that bought it some years ago is redoing it, and the world just keeps watching. Like they have an ongoing blog. Like it's a big deal what's happened to Mike Tyson's old Xanadu.
Wow.
I mean that's how important he is to the culture, and for a few years, well, especially 6 years he's in prison, you don't really hear much from Mike. He's not fighting.
Yeah.
He does come out. Eventually, and he starts talking about a comeback. He says, "I'm going to do it." And you figure, well, it's still Mike Tyson. You know, maybe
he'll
be back in the ring. Let's see.
And he wins some fights.
Bit.
Well, yes, he.
The Evander Holyfield ear biting thing.
It
a
all
lot
leads
of people
to that.
Would say that's the nadir. That's when definitely okay. This guy is challenging us to like him. He doesn't really want to have fans anymore or something. What's going on with him? And it seemed like, at least to us who read In Touch magazine, he was in a pretty dark place there. Which I don't. I think it affects our soul.
Yeah.
In this culture of pop.
Yeah.
But, aha, It's not as if everyone lived unhappily ever after either. Mike Tyson, actually smarter and more resilient than you might think, starts to get a little turnaround. You remember when this was a big, big movie?
Hangover.
Still one of the biggest selling comedies ever.
Hangover.
Hangover pulls him in for a like a play yourself, but over the top
right.
kind of role. Nails it. And
nails it.
Everybody,
yep.
And boom, all of a sudden he's just cashing back in on those Goodwill bucks that he earned when we were kids. Like, hell yeah, that's what I want to see. Mike Tyson entertaining me again.
Well, you're right. I mean, and it was literally on his face. I mean, the guy puts a tattoo on his face.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't get any lower probably, right?
Yeah.
And so he kind of takes this persona, this popularity, which in the 80s was massive, and he was a hero to us, and then he fell so hard. I mean, I almost cried when he lost. He was such a hero to me, mm-hmm. you know? And all that stuff, and it was just one bad thing after another, and then every time he tried to make a comeback, we were all for it. We wanted him to come back. We wanted him to come back. We were defenders of that legacy.
Yeah.
And it just kept failing us. It kept failing us. And then we finally see him start to pull out of this, and it is in this awesome cameo.
Yeah.
And that it
reminds us that Mike Tyson is out there, and he is a human.
Famously in that movie, one of the characters goes, "Still got it." Right? Remember when he knocks out Galifianakis?
Yeah.
And then Ed Helms' character just goes, "Still got it." And he's just like, you know, doing a little punch in the air.
Yeah.
You know?
We remember Kid Dynamite.
We remember
19,
him.
20 years old.
From that Punch-Out game.
Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, then you probably didn't have a Nintendo.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
Yeah. My brother knew the code and could beat Tyson, like, every time. I beat him maybe four times. It was an amazing
like
thing.
Two or three times over years of trying, probably.
Still one of my greatest video game accomplishments.
Incredibly tough.
Yep. That's still at the peak.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
But Tyson came back. He regained a little bit. He's not boxing anymore.
Uh-huh.
You know, he decided he's moved on from that.
Right.
I'm not a sports writer. I couldn't give you all the background of that. But Tyson, and he even told you during the roundtable interview, I remember, he said he was just born to entertain.
Yeah.
It's what he's out there to do. And where's he doing it now, Marky? Because it's one of my favorite places.
He's doing it on Adult Swim for y'all.
Damn right. This is why we're bringing it back. November 1st,
uh-huh.
Tomorrow, is the premiere of the second season of the
Mike Tyson Mysteries. This show
which is pulling in big numbers for Adult Swim.
Yeah, it should. This show is a gem. And this is a first for Saturday Morning Serial. I'm watching this show, and you're catching
That's
up.
True. That's
yeah.
true. You're ahead of me on an Adult Swim show.
Yeah.
You must be very proud.
I am.
I know I am.
Again. I've been waiting for his comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Let's just play this interview.
You want to? All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is Marky.
Finally,
and
I'm dying to play this.
And a whole group of other fans speaking to Mike Tyson just this past summer.
Other journalists.
At other fan journalists.
Exactly. Here we go.
Meanwhile.
This is rough stuff. What's up, guys?
Hi.
Oh.
Comic-Con.
Wow. Third, in that cat, you know, in that bracket.
So, how would you rate your role in Coco Springs, your first season of My Kitchen?
Great. It doesn't really matter what I anticipate or think about it. The only thing that really matters is the results. And I guess that's why we're here again, because we had pretty good results.
My dad wanted me to tell you that he thinks you're one of the funniest men ever, and he doesn't laugh at anybody, really, and he didn't used to like you, you know, back when you first started, but you made it turn around, and what do you think does that to people? I mean, like, your comedy, how do you think it just hits people and makes everybody laugh?
I don't know, I just, that's why I'm... If I could be permitted to say, that's just what I'm born to do. I'm born to entertain people. You know, either fighting, what I'm doing now. I could be either, in the, like I was saying before, I could do it with like 30,000 people or three people. That's just what I know how to do. I know how to entertain people.
Yeah, I know the fight game has a little bit of a comedy to it sometimes, because you're trying to get into your opponent's head. Did you learn anything from showmanship when you were fighting?
I just know, this is what I learned as a kid. Everybody had their own, I just know my objective is when I'm finished, whatever I'm doing in front of an audience of people, my objective, my sole objective only is for me to have them say, when's the next time I can see him? And that's just how I work. That's my barometer and what I do.
Yeah, one show came that group. I love watching what you did back in the day, too.
Thank
and
you.
And you got me laughing about cheese frittata now. I have no idea why. I always come and hear cheese frittata. I hear you say
it. Cheese frittata.
When Warner Brothers first approached you to do this, did you set down any...
I said no. I said, I don't want to do it.
Said no?
Really? I said no.
So how did they convince you? And then did
you give them Hugh said no, too. Hugh Davis and we both said no, it's not going to work. I guess that's why they're the suits at Warner Brothers, and that's why we're the working stiff, because they know what's going to work and we don't.
But did you give them any rules? Like,
I didn't want to do nothing. I didn't want to do anything. I don't want to do this.
But once you did agree to do it,
and now?
I didn't want to do it. And then, eventually, Stu, I thought it was like, you know, like I was saying earlier, it was like, you know, the first Edison photo movie, click, 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 you know, you take the book and pages, and I thought it was going to be like that, and then when I saw with the first draft, it was pretty much up to date, very sophisticated, and I said, yeah, I want to try to do this, make it look good, but then it really looked good, it made you look good. So. I'm acting while I'm doing my voiceovers. I'm in
Hey, Mike, can you tell us about some of the cartoons, maybe, that, like, you grew up with that kind of influenced how you're performing now?
I'm going to send you cartoons of the 70s, Deputy Dogs, Looney Tunes, Heckle and Jekyll, Superman, Super Friends, all that stuff, Huckleberry Hound. These guys, Scooby-Doo, all the Hanna-Barbera stuff, pretty much.
Right on.
So how surreal has it been for you to watch the fan base grow, especially in conventions, because I just find that they're more and more excited, like especially now with the new season?
I don't know. I don't question my life. I guess I say, well, this is working. You know, not that, well, this is rare. I never thought I'd be in this particular genre, but this is working. So if it's working, let's just hang out here for a while.
Mike, now that you've done voiceover and, you know, regular acting, which do you prefer, since you can kind of get into a completely different character when you're doing both?
I like live performances. I like being loud in front of a crowd of people.
What gave you the inspiration to do your one?
I saw Chad Palminteri do a Bronx Tale in Vegas.
Yeah,
I want to do that.
So, you go away pigeon?
Yes. Yeah, that's something that I'm going to do. When you're a pigeon fancier, you do it till you die. When I die, somebody's going to be coming to us. Already, you know, I'm here to pick up Mike's bird. That's just having all the pigeon fanciers.
Yeah, so I wondered what it was like working with Norm, playing pigeons.
I've never worked with Norm. I stated earlier, I've never saw Norm. I don't know what Norm looks like. I know he has a big fan base because everybody approaches me on the streets and tell me how great he is and how well they're working with him. But I've never saw Norm. I've never spoke with Norm. I always, like I was stating earlier, I thought Jim had rash with Norm on the Marcus of Queensbury. But I realized that I was mistaken and he's not Norman. Me and Norman have never been encountered with one another.
Is that ever a challenge without having me? You're in the booth and recording everything, you don't have those people to feed off of?
I want every challenge is like that. I want to be able to be up against a situation that if I fail, I risk the chance of being humiliated. Only by that kind of adversity that I will rise to that above my level of performance. It can't be like a walk in the park. I'm stuck at that. It got to be really something threatening.
You feel like you're really comfortable with yourself now, especially more than you were when you were younger. How does that?
I don't know about that. I don't know if anybody's ever comfortable with themselves. They're ever real with, totally real with themselves. You know. Because that's our job in life, to overcome what we hate about ourselves and despise about ourselves. We all have that. That's our journey, to overcome that and to love what we despise. Me? I'll be able to read people's minds. But then I know how to move, okay. Oh, I can do that.
Right. I think you'd hear, "Oh no, run," a whole lot.
Oh no, I won't hear that. You hear? I hate that motherfucker. How can I get some money out of this guy? Let's get this company. Let's get that. Let's use him to get that.
Do you find yourself turning down more and more stuff as you've gotten into acting? I mean, I see you in a lot of things, but I imagine you're pretty busy with all this stuff.
I don't want to turn down things. I just like working. I like working. If I work for free, it's like working. You just have to stay busy working.
I know that a lot of boxers haven't had the same success you have. Sometimes pro athletes end up getting out of their what they were most known for and trying to decline. But you've managed to keep getting better and more excellent than anything you do.
That just comes from having a great support system. That has nothing to do with me. I have the aptitude to be able to do something, but without a great support system, you're nothing.
You talked about not being comfortable in New York. Do you look back and say, "I wish I could do that over," or do you only look ahead these days?
No, I don't know where doing that over would take me. I'm always cautious. I'm always cautious about some of my, I don't know, what do you call them? Gifts, or something that something I should be grateful for. I don't know. I look at everything as it is. Spectacular. I can hit Lotto or do great in the stock market, and that can just lead me down the road to some really disastrous situation. I just look at everything for what it pretty much is. A dream project?
Yeah, just jump in any kind of movie or TV show you like. What else is
catching you? I don't know. I think I would want to direct and produce. Be behind the camera. I did a documentary named Champs. It was a documentary about the lifestyle of three very successful champions that come from really crime and... your crime and drug infested areas. It's really the bottom of the line in America that you're going to get, as far as the inner city is concerned. And it's my personal opinion. Anyone have it? When I saw the film, I saw three people that had great potential, and their shame of where they were and their desire to get out of the rut that they were in made them extremely successful, all three of us.
Have you seen Dolph Fight? The documentary about backyard fighting in Florida, I think.
Periodically. Of course.
It's a documentary.
No, it's all over the country. They have organizations like that all over the country, underground organizations.
And Mike, what's scarier, a heavyweight fight or coming here with 100,000 geeks, freaks, and weirdos?
Neither one.
Really? Same thing?
One.
Thank you. It's just all the day's work?
Yeah, I try not to, I was stating earlier, I try not to get my own self-aggrandizement involved with this stuff. That's when I always fuck up. I fuck up when I'm in my selfish mode. It never fails. It's never failed. When I'm always thinking about how I'm going to get stimulated from a situation, regardless whatever it takes to get there, I'm going down. It just never fails. Never fails. That's what my kryptonite is, selfishness. It never fails.
How do you feel about the sport of boxing?
Huh? I think she's amazing, awesome, great for contact sports, really good for contact sports. Well, women are envious of men, so that's why they do a good job of superseding us in certain fields. No, you'll want to, how do I say this? You want the respect that men receive, even when they seem they don't, even when they appear they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
That's what women want. Yes. Yes. Yes.
How do you feel about how the sport of boxing is now compared to when you were there? That there's not much of a heavyweight division. It's all the talk is about.
Well, it was about giving the people what they want when I was fighting. Regardless of who you are, you might be the Queen of England, you might be the President, you might be the Secretary of State, you may have a really dignified position in life and this, that. But when you come to a fight, I know what you want. You want to see this man comatose. You want to see him hurt. I don't care what kind of title you got, how dignified it becomes, and at what status. You want to see somebody get knocked senseless. You don't want them to move. And that's what I try to give them.
No one delivered better than you on that.
I try.
History, man. History.
I try.
Amazing.
Yeah, with our gym, we always tell you, everybody's got a plan to get
some. That's just in life. You know, we just got to have a plan B in life. In life, we have plan B, C. It may not be as lucrative as plan A, but we still have a life. We still live. Oh, absolutely. I was suggesting that he and the pigeon constantly conflict with one another. I was thinking that Young should decide to adopt a cat. And the pigeon be trying to get the cat. And if you know how to bird the cat, sometimes just look at their prey when they can't get them. They're too high somewhere in the tree. And he should dump on the cat sometimes. Getting kind of dark or something. That's what pigeons do.
Do you have a favorite episode from season 1?
I used to do every episode the best of my ability.
Okay. But there might have been a story that appealed to you more than others?
Yeah, I was a serial astronaut killer, reluctantly. A reluctant serial killer for astronauts, yeah.
One more question.
Hey, listen, I'm just here. I'm going to take in everything and I'm just leaving it at that. Listen, if you get too caught up and this place will drain you totally with your energy. You know what I mean?
Okay, thank you, guys.
Huh?
Thank you, guys.
No, pigeons. Around 1500. Around 1500.
11 world-class contenders. Take them down with your controller. Beat them all, and you've got a shot at Tyson's title. Power! But for now, you've got to beat Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's Punch-Out from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power.
And there you go, everybody. A little Mike Tyson wisdom from the perspective of some age, some experience, some adversity, some redemption, some pretty interesting personal views about feminism, and pigeon fancier till he dies with 1,500 pigeons. Take that, little Mac, who's playing with power now.
I would love to know what the stats were on that game. And, you know, I wonder how many units it sold. I think every of my friends had it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It must have been, I'm sure it was 1 in 5. I'm pulling these stats completely out of my ass, but
yeah.
I'm guessing 1 of 5 Nintendo systems had Punch-Out.
I would even guess more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I still don't know what numbers that would be, though.
Can you name 5 of the characters from it?
Well, you got Soda Popinski. I'm trying to go backwards here. Yeah, Soda Popinski.
Hippo,
Bull, King Hippo, Glass Joe,
he was the start.
Who's the German? Kaiser what?
Who was the sheiky guy with the turban and the little jewel?
All of my guesses might be very racist here in 2015, so I'm not going to touch that one.
It was a little racist. But, you know, it did start with the stringy white guy, Glass Joe. So,
yeah.
You know, It was equal, as far as I could tell. But yeah, that game, it is still one of my favorite games ever. And
yep.
Mike Tyson
was great.
Oh, loved it. Fantastic. The arcade version, if you guys remember this, was like
that.
Yeah,
I'm
that,
trying to remember.
Like
see, that. I don't. I'm trying to it, remember it, it, if like that was those, even Mike Tyson.
No.
That was just Punch-Out.
Yeah, it was called Punch-Out, and it had like
I knew
those.
There was something about that arcade.
It like had like those like handlebar thingies.
Yeah.
And then you would grab them and punch with them.
Yeah.
And it
you
had
were
like this,
like represented by the green.
By this green grid
yeah.
character. Yeah. And it, I believe it had Glass Joe was still there, Raging
yeah, I
Bull.
I think the contenders were mostly the
exactly.
same.
Exactly.
There was no Mike Tyson. He wasn't attached to it until it went to the NES, I think.
Yeah, and then they brought in Mario was the ref, and a new character called Little Mac. He was the character that you represented.
Yeah.
And he would have to leap to punch everybody because Little Mac was, you know.
He was tiny.
He was tiny.
He was about 87 pounds.
And when you got to a certain level, like when you beat the first three or the second three, do you remember the little training?
Yeah, where you're run by the Statue of Liberty,
Liberty.
Out there.
And your trainer's like
yeah,
under
trainer's
there.
On the bike. And, yeah. Doc, I think was his name. That seems too easy.
Doc, but. I think it's Doc, yeah. And then Doc would give you, you know, during the rounds, if you could do this once a fight. I don't know if you ever knew this trick, but you could
or
hold down.
Select. Over and over
and then
again,
you get your power back.
Get like a 30 or power back. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
You had to do that smart because, there were three rounds and you could do it between the first and second or second and third.
Right.
You had to make sure it would be worth it.
You had to save it, right, because you just
sometimes
you
get out of that
know.
Second round and you're barely hanging on and, oops, sorry, too late. You already blew it.
Yeah, I mean, boxing was big for us. This was the height of the Rocky years.
Yeah.
Boxing was great. We had great champions back then.
Yeah, it's when you had the
we had
the
Sugar Ray Leonard. Also, even if it
exciting.
Was right, it was really kind of the end of the great heavyweights. I mean, it was the beginning of the end. You know, Mike Tyson dispensed of most of them.
Yeah.
in a second. But this was a big deal to us, and it just kind of got taken away from us. It was an early lesson in our adolescence.
Well,
of our heroes and,
yeah.
and things like
yeah,
that. You
one hero. Yeah, suddenly, as we got a little more mature, we found out he was human.
Yeah, he was, yeah. There was some questionable character there,
mm-hmm.
And we got bailed out here with him, you know? I really do.
Well, I think he was able to go for some redemption, and he said some really interesting things in the interview about, you know, his own selfishness.
Yeah.
That's his kryptonite.
I think that's right.
I think that takes a lot of living and a lot of losing to learn things like that about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, just the whole Holyfield ear-biting incident, you know, it was, you could see that kind of selfishness there. He's just like, I can't beat this guy. I want to get out of here. You know, like, this is,
yeah
you know, like, I've had it with this, you know,
yeah.
I'm being embarrassed or whatever. I don't know, but, you know, that kind of, there was a very deep psychological thing that triggered there, and you know, that was probably, and this is a guy, by the way, that spent 3 of his 6 years in jail, right, you know, for that conviction. And that, to me, it was the Holyfield biting thing was his low point.
Because
that was his ring.
I think that's when it
you
was
know?
Like, oh, you
lost us there. Yeah.
I feel like I want to watch you build yourself back up. And then when he did that, it was like, oh God,
it was bad.
He doesn't want us to want him anymore or something. There's got to be something else. Like I said earlier, it mystified me and disgusted me.
But
and now it's okay to like Mike Tyson again, and I'm glad for
right.
that.
Right.
Tell us all more about this Mike Tyson mystery show.
Well, I think it actually plays on the persona of, like, his menace.
Yeah.
You know, and it's basically, you have to imagine, it's basically Scooby-Doo and Friends, but the friend is always in the show, you know, because it's not Mama Cass, it's not, you know, it's not the Globetrotters, you know.
Well,
Mike Tyson's
also the one solving
exactly.
mysteries. He's not the guest or the helper. He's got his crew. He's got a pigeon played by, because as you know, even in real life, Mike Tyson, long time pigeon fancier.
Yep, you're right.
I did not know that was the term until I learned it from Mike.
Famously, the first fight that he ever got in.
Oh yeah, like
when he was
a kid.
Yeah, the school bully who was much bigger than him, much older than him, ripped the head off of one of his pigeons,
ugh,
and he punched him out. So it's, you know, pigeons are really a big part of his life, and yeah, they actually bring that into the show.
Yep, there's
and
a pigeon voiced
yeah.
by Norm Macdonald, who
he's
brings
funny,
in his mysteries.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, all
got,
the pigeons.
Jim
the
Rash,
pigeon coop.
Another mm-hmm. really really good comic actor, playing one of the voices. He's got an adopted Asian daughter, I believe.
Yeah, and
of course you got you need that to round out the team.
Uh huh. Uh huh. You got to have somebody. You know, you got to have your brain when you're next
exactly.
to Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
And
your Inspector Gadget needs his penny.
Exactly. Yes, she's absolutely the penny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so they have a lot of fun with this other idea that he is a very unsophisticated, you know, guy.
Yeah.
And you know, I dare not say he's dumb. You know, because he'll kill you.
No.
But like the thing is like. They have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, and he's willing to go along with
exactly.
it.
Exactly,
and he
he's
does
the
it
biggest
really
participant.
Well. So
it.
I think that's
yes.
what makes it. You know, he's willing to see himself as fallible.
Yeah,
which goes a long way towards redemption in my book.
And you know, before he got this series, and right after The Hangover, he went. I believe it was on Broadway. He did like this like one man
oh,
show.
Yeah. I heard about his one man show.
I caught it on HBO. And it was fantastic. Like what you saw of like from him, you kind of saw it in the Hangover, is a lot of talent, like character, comic timing, acting, performance. He's got it, you know. And they're the guys that are at Adult Swim are so incredible, so clever. The writers are fantastic.
Awesome writing.
And he's playing. They play with his persona to a key, and Mike Tyson taps into it perfectly for the show. And I just love it. And it starts tomorrow, November 1st. I don't know, 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock. What time does it come on?
On Adult Swim. Well, it'd probably be around midnight.
And even if you miss it, they'll probably release it on their Adult Swim website at
yep.
the same time. You know,
or
you can actually go right
more
now,
times that night on Adult Swim.
You could actually go right now on Adult Swim and catch up on season one. I believe all the episodes are there. They're for free.
That's lucky.
I mean, catch up. I mean, they're only, I think, 15, 20 minutes. They're not long programs. And you get a little piece of Mike Tyson. I think that we all kind of saw this person in the Veracity back
yeah.
in the 80s. We saw this kind of character there, you know, mm-hmm. but he was a hero to us, and all that happened, you know.
All right.
Crappy happened.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mike Tyson Mysteries, tomorrow night, Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that on the Cartoon Network, for those
yeah.
of you not in the know. You know, before I let everybody go, I have a little update
uh-huh.
from our last show.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was only fair to share. As you recall, we were talking about Alan Tudyk and his new series on Vimeo
uh-huh.
called Con Man.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Con Man's really good. my one little hang-up was the way they're distributing it was a rental period
uh-huh.
that would, after about a month, you just couldn't watch it anymore. And I thought that was really an ugly cash grab. Sure enough, perhaps they heard, perhaps my energy reached them. But I got an email the other day announcing that, hey, you know what? You can go ahead and watch that show forever.
Yeah.
Because I had paid my $10-$15 to see it, and
mm-hmm.
I was disappointed that I only had a month to watch the whole thing, and never again unless I shell it out.
Yeah.
That is no longer the case. They are already learning and adapting. If you go to Vimeo now and you plunk down your money for Con Man, the series, you'll get all the episodes from now until perpetuity. Forever and ever, you'll be able to see it. That's improvement, and I thought it was only fair to mention it.
That is good news. I like that because that show is awesome.
That is.
And I also have an update. A couple of shows back, we were talking about Nobility and Kamikaze. Well, guess what? It's today.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Join me in Los Angeles at Kamikaze tonight for the world premiere of the series Nobility, finally.
Boy, it's been a long time coming, boy.
I finally get to see this. So join me, EJ De La Pena. I believe Cass is going to be there. I believe, I think Walter Koenig is going to be there.
I think he's doing one of the Q&As
yeah.
as well, yeah.
So there's Doug Jones, I think, is going to be there. You know, Stan Lee tends to pop his head around that place a lot too. So, hey, this is it. Tonight's the night for that. Mike Tyson was great, wasn't he?
Oh, God. My thanks to Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
My thanks to Mark E. Wonderful interview skills, sir.
Thank you, Adult Swim.
Thank you, Adult Swim.
Keep doing good work. Keep inviting us to these things because we love it so much. Mike Tyson, it was an honor and a privilege to be face-to-face with him. To have a little conversation with him was amazing to me. It was the highlight of our
I know. You've really been wanting to get this interview out there
yeah.
so you can prove it to
yeah.
your friends.
Yeah.
And there you go. Our recommendations this week, Mike Tyson Mysteries, Season 2, beginning tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Nobility tonight premiering at Kamikaze, so you're actually going to have to physically be somewhere.
Yeah.
Can't watch it on your mobile devices,
nope,
kids.
Unless I somehow steal it on my phone.
But you can find Con Man on your mobile devices, kids, over at Vimeo. You got to pay for the series, but you get it forever now.
It's paid
to
own.
They're making strides in the model. I don't know. I can't think of anything. Is that about enough of this?
Yeah, that's enough of this.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
This is enough of this.